morning, everyone. We're starting a new series called Smelling Salt. Let me explain. That's a rather original title. When I was a senior in high school, there were five of us guys who had run cross country together. This was our number 6th year. And we never did win state. We'd always come close, but not real close. We were seniors, and we thought we would have a good year, but we never thought we would take state. But then Coach Tishner came up to us, and he said, "Smell this." And it was a smelling salt. And man, if you've ever smelled smelling salt, it like wakes you up. He said, "Get awake, team. We're taking state." And you know what? We worked hard. We persevered. It was a lot of running, a lot of practicing. We actually took state that year. And so, like 5 weeks ago, when this pandemic just visited us, I was just praying and listening, and God actually gave me a dream, and it was of that smelling salt. He wants to awaken us as a church to what He is doing. We don't want to miss what He has for us. And so I believe this is a great time for the church to rally and to repent and to call on the name of Jesus and looking for revival amongst the believers that will just change this nation. And so then I went from there to the book of James, because James is the brother of Jesus, and he wrote the book of James. Of course, God wrote it through him. And James did not believe his brother, his half-brother, was Jesus, was the Son of God. In fact, he antagonized him constantly. But then he became a believer after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw his brother rise from the dead. And he became an advocate and a church leader and just crazy for Jesus. You can read about him in Acts 15, the first church council. He was a leader in the church. And he wrote this very practical book on how to live the Christian faith. And what a better time to do that than right now, when we're hunkered down, we can read more, we can pray more, at least we have the opportunity, and learn how to really live and be equipped with how to live the Christian life. And so this first message is kind of like an overview. In fact, there's a Greek word called teleos, and it means mature. It can be translated right or perfect. And James uses that word, or the word in that family, in each one of his five chapters in the book of James. And so today's kind of an overview. We're just going to kind of do a flyby, and then next week we'll be back in James 1. But the five marks of maturity. And it's not based on your age. Just because you're getting old doesn't mean you're getting wise. And so this is for everyone. For children, for teenagers, for adults. So let's find out, let's kind of measure ourselves. And let me just say on the front end, this is going to be a hard message. I mean, if you want kind of a fluffy message, then don't watch this one. But if you're in for a challenge, and God can take us right where we are into the next step, but if you're into this challenge, then stay tuned for this message and the whole series. So the five marks of maturity. The first one is, a mature person is positive under pressure. Positive under pressure. James 1 says this, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Let's just pause there. That word face in Greek means a trial comes that is unexpected. It just comes from left field and just attacks you like this virus did. I mean, just a few weeks ago, the economy was an all-time high, unemployment an all-time low. Now that has switched, and unemployment is all-time high, and the economy is leaning on a curb. Many of you watching this right now have lost your jobs. You're either furloughed or laid off. Some of you have collected your stimulus money. Some of you your unemployment money. Some of you have not yet. And it's like James is saying, under pressure, to be positive and have joy, how can that be? Let's read on. because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And get this, I'm going to read this because this is the definition, the word picture of perseverance. Hupomana is the Greek word. It's a picture of someone under a heavy load and choosing to stay there instead of trying to escape. Now, why in the world would someone choose to stay under severe pressure? How about to win the race? How about to allow God to form your character? How about really believing that God has a plan in the pain? This really boils down to an attitude. I mean, we're all learning how to hit this new curveball, hunkering down, and it provides opportunities for craziness in the home, and sometimes ours is crazy at times, at other times it's peaceful, and it's just an opportunity to grow. And I have learned some things about myself, being hunkered down, that have not looked so great, but God is honing me because I'm choosing not to run from it, but to run right into, right through it with God. And there's real hope here. Because James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And so don't lose hope right now in the moment. But if you cannot even find hope in the moment, and if you're a Jesus follower, know that he has prepared a place for you. And if you persevere and love him to the end, you have eternity with him, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. Without hope, we will perish. I'm thinking about Eugene Lang. I wish I could have met this guy. He actually died about 3 years ago. He was 97 years old, a multi-millionaire, and just a man of great grace. He was actually visiting the school he graduated from the sixth grade in Harlem, New York. And in that school, he was supposed to give a speech. And he was all prepared, knowing that the speech was going to be on, hey, finish the race, go to school, graduate. Because only 25% of those sixth graders would actually graduate from high school. And so when he's giving this speech, like right in the middle of it, he's thinking to himself, I have to give them some hope. Something to, like, lean into. Something to live for. Because their home lives were not the best. They were under a lot of pressure. Life was not beautiful for them. And so right in the middle of his speech, he decides to end it by saying, if you graduate from high school, I will help pay for your college. Well, there were like 60 students, and 75% of them graduated from high school. And 60% of that 75% actually graduated from college. And if Eugene Lang can do this, what about Jesus Christ, who resurrected from the dead with all these resources and hope in life for us, but he wants to actually not give it to us just too easily. He actually allows these pressure points, life to get difficult, to hone us, make us people of character. And so that's the first sign of maturity. It's positive under pressure. So how are you doing with that one? Kind of grade yourself. And maybe if you're online, say, I got this one, or maybe I'm going to work on this one. But the second one is, a mature person puts others first. James 2:8 says this, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. You're perfect and mature. What I love is turning on the news, and I saw this like a few weeks ago. I think it might have been New York. But as the doctors and nurses were walking into the hospital to treat patients filled with the virus, risking their own lives, the streets would be lined, and even the building tops lined, people hanging out their windows, clapping for them, and when they would leave, just applauding, putting them first. And I love seeing that, because, you know, we're made in the image of God, and there's something beautiful when we put others first. I've said it for years, and I will, it's right from Scripture. If you want joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself third. And so how is that going right now in your homes? What I find interesting is, especially for men, it's often difficult to love those close to us. Oftentimes we put other, like friends, on the pecking order a little bit higher than our wives if we're married, or our children if we have them. And it's just, why is that? Because it's so much more difficult to love people, for some men, that you know so well, and you're hunkered down, and maybe you have failed them so many times, maybe you're filled with shame, but here God has provided an opportunity for us men to take leadership in the home and start putting, if you're married, start putting your wives first, put your children, put everyone, your friends, if you're single, put everyone before yourself. And that's the test of maturity. Well, how you doing with that one? How you grade yourself on that one? The third one is, a mature person has mastered his mouth. Now, this is a tough one for me because I like to process out loud, but let's read the verse. James 3:2. We all make mistakes. If you could control your tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every way. If you want self-control, you have to have tongue control. Now, if you go to the doctors and you're sick, he'll ask you to stick your tongue out. By looking at your tongue, he can tell oftentimes if you're healthy or not. It's the same way spiritually. God looks at our tongue, and what comes out of our mouths, it reflects what's in our hearts. And how is that going? And here's the challenge verse right now for all of us. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any negative talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. Okay, let's just drill a little bit beneath the surface. And so with this pandemic, it brings out the best in the worst in all of us. And I have complained at times about those in authority for not making decisions to say maybe open up the economy or allow us to meet as a congregation like some other states are doing in the union. And according to Ephesians 4:29, no negative talk should come out of my mouth, only what builds up. And I'm telling you what, I don't always abide with, but I was convicted by it. I have to grow in this area. How about as Jesus followers, if we talk positively and speak faith into our governor, our president, our vice president, those in authority, and then we pray in such a way. I'm not saying you cannot, I'm not saying you, it's okay to disagree. I've been at a lot of rallies, I've spoken at several rallies, maybe up to 20, for pro-life, defending the little child in the mom's tummy, that is life. And oftentimes when I'm speaking at these events, back when we could do that, there'd be police because like a wall for the on the other side were those who didn't feel the same way, and I would be preaching and they would be yelling and screaming and saying these things, and I would just preach love to them. God loves you. God has a plan for you. If we could do that in our homes and with each other and pray that way, now that's the sign of maturity. Because if you go the other way, you have lost sight of the sovereignty of God. You don't believe God's in control. See, God has a reason for all this, and he wants us to have a good attitude. Get the smelling salt out, sniff it. I mean, wake up. Let's not miss what God is doing. So fourth, a mature person is a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. James 4:1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And there's two sources of conflict here within. It's selfishness and judging others. And again, this is a difficult one. I tend to want to judge people. And what right do I have to judge? Because I don't know their heart. Only God knows the heart. I just want to confess to you right now. I can't name any names. I've got to be careful here. But I have sometimes seen people before even meeting them and just watched what they're wearing, what they drive, how they walk, how they talk. And I will sometimes, when I'm not walking with the Spirit, make a judgment statement about them. And it's typically not really good. But then I'll take the time to listen to them, to get to know them. And I was completely wrong. Or oftentimes, if they were, say, anxious or bitter, take the time to listen to find out why they're anxious or bitter. Man, they're human. We have to be patient and be a peacemaker. So let's bring peace into the situation. In our homes, where we work, when you go shopping, bring peace into the situation. And so one of my favorite things to do is to get Ann a drink at Caribou. And so Caribou, she gave me free coffee for at least a week. I'm giving you a commercial here. She likes the dark chocolate mocha. And it's a really good drink. And so oftentimes when I go in there, in fact, I did it last week, and I asked the lady there, the young girl, how are you doing? Do you like working? Do you like being here? Yes, yes. Where's your hope? And all of a sudden, we got this little conversation going. Of course, someone came behind me. I had to move on. But I'm going to go back there same time this next week and continue that conversation. Try and bring peace into it. Try and bring Jesus into these conversations. That's the sign of maturity. And fifthly, a mature person is patient and prayerful. James 5 says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. As you know, we consider blessed those who persevere. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and very effective. So in James 5, the word prayer is used 7 times and patience 4 times. And then he has an illustration of a farmer and Job. Now a farmer is very obvious for probably all of us. Crops just don't pop up. You plant the seed, you pray for the right amount of sun, of rain, and you're patient, and then they come up. And so we understand. So like farmers, we have to be like that in our prayers and just patient. And also Job. Maybe you don't know about the book of Job. It's in the Old Testament. And this guy had some terrible things happen to him. He basically lost all his money, and he was very rich. He lost his children. He lost his health. God basically left him with his wife, and she wasn't really that much of an encouragement. But he hung in there. He hung in there. He didn't leave the weight that was underneath him. And God doubled his blessings at the end. Because the bottom line with Job was, he said this, my Redeemer lives. You know, last week we celebrated Easter. He has risen. Every Sunday is like Easter Sunday. Every day is Resurrection Day. And so if we serve a living Savior, we take his word that's from his Spirit and we apply it to our lives. And so let's take a little bit of a maturity test here. How do you handle problems? How are you doing with that? Are you putting other people first? Can you manage your mouth? Are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? How long can you wait for answered prayer without giving up? And here's the important part. Don't miss this. Wherever you are on this, if you failed all these, if you're like saying, man, he's not going to want me, that's when he wants you the most. When you come to him humbly and I can't do this, God, because wherever you are, if you call out to God, he will meet with you and take you to the next step. And that last point of being patient and praying is so key. My friend, If you get on your knees and pray and just submit yourself to God, His Holy Spirit will come in you. He will fill you up and He will do amazing things. Now be patient. He has you on a journey. We're all on a different journey, but He will never leave us or forsake us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit allows each one of us to really look at your word. Are we mature in you? Are we just playing games? We don't want to just jump through the hoops. We don't want to live in fear. And Heavenly Father, this is an opportunity for us as a church, for us as individuals, to just come under you and trust you. It's really an attitude of gratitude, of trusting you. And I pray for those who have lost their jobs. Perhaps there's a lot of, or perhaps they've lost their health, or some relationships have gone awry. Heavenly Father, I pray especially for them that they will call on you and your Holy Spirit will fill their sails with hope in you. And may we be patient. May we learn from the farmer and from Job. You will never leave us or forsake us. We want to glorify you, and we ask, Heavenly Father, like smelling salt, awaken us, and may we reach our redemptive potential for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I will see you all, well, hopefully if you watch online, I'll see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. for Dave's Devos. Otherwise, next Sunday, we're going to be back in James. And basically, the idea for next Sunday is, you know, the devil, the enemy, wants to destroy us, but God wants to develop us. We're going to drill down a little bit deeper into what that looks like. Have a great week.